From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler.
Today on the show, I have James Brenza, who is the Chief Data Officer for The Ohio State University, and Maureen Metcalf, CEO of Metcalf & Associates. And they're talking about an article they have recently published in Integral Leadership Review on evaluating big data projects, success and failure using an integral lens. Welcome to Craft.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thanks, Doug. It's really nice to be here.
The thing that struck me about the article was that there was a lot of information about innovative leadership. And I took that to sort of be a creative approach to leadership. And then I read the paper, and you've got a lot of different ideas about leadership and it's how it relates to big data. So why don't we start off by you telling me about your views on innovative leadership and how that applied to this article that you wrote?
So let me talk a little bit about what is innovative leadership to start with. And what I usually ask people is, think about a time you've worked on a project and you were really excited about the project and maybe a leader who really helped that project come about successfully. That might be an innovative leader. And then think about a leader who, because their practice of leadership is a bit outdated, interfered with the success of the project. So we encourage leaders to innovate the way they lead as much as they innovate the way they do their business. So if I'm not updating my leadership style and practices, I am likely out of date, and my leadership will in fact be the thing that interferes with our success. Specifically, as we're looking at big data, I think that's incredibly relevant. So we define innovative leaders as leaders who are self-aware, so attending to their own values, attending to their behavior, attending to the culture of the organization, and attending to the systems and processes. And how that differs from traditional leaders is traditional leaders often attend only to the systems and processes that they're trying to change without looking at the interconnections of the other elements.
Okay. And James, how does as the Chief Data Officer, I'm assuming you brought more of the lens of big data to the project. So maybe we'll start off with a definition of big data, which I've heard referred to as, most people don't know the difference between big data and big bird. So what is big data? And then we can wrap into how it relates to this.
Big data is traditionally defined with three V's, fundamentally: volume, variety, and velocity. Volume, they refer to just huge data sets. Multi-billion row transaction databases would be a great example. Velocity is typically driven through instrumentation. So if you're doing any kind of scientific work and you have instruments reading every few hundreds of a second, dumping large volumes of data at you. And then variety is really looking more at unstructured text. If you're looking at any kind of open documents that just get dropped on servers and then get crawled, it's working through that variety and trying to pull the nuggets out. For the purposes of projects that we use for this particular paper, we're really looking at a couple of key areas. How do you pull in the big data aspect of it, but into two key areas? First would be analytics. So many times you have to pull that big data through different types of filters and database techniques to start drawing out, statistically many times, information inside of just that raw data. The second is visualization. So many times people will actually just grab the big data and then put it through visualization maps right up against GIS databases to understand across global or national boundaries what's going on with that data.
How did your two fields intersect to result in this article?
So I was doing some consulting with The Ohio State University, and James and I found ourselves working together. And I think I was probably the one who, because I do a lot of writing, suggested that we collaborate on a paper.
Correct. And then also I was looking through her book. It was referenced by a friend of mine at work. And started looking through her book, and I was really taken by the framework. I think it's a great analytic framework through the integral lens, but then also the multi-step process towards the back of her book that then helps you actually have more successful projects overall. Tremendous applicability to big data and analytic projects.
Okay. Is leadership and big data a really hot topic right now, or is it mostly big data? Are you coming at something that's really brand new, or what's your take on that intersection?
I'm not sure necessarily either field is brand new per se, but think of it as a Venn diagram. And it's the intersection of the two is where I'm starting to see more and more big data projects fail. Big data brings along some tremendous challenges. And if they're not addressed appropriately, the projects are doomed to failure. Now, again, big data and leadership have existed for a long time together. I think the challenge now, though, is big data projects require, I think, a lot more leadership and innovative leadership styles to make them successful. So it's almost a perfect match.
Okay. One of the questions I wanted to get at is that you have a diagram in here from another author, I think Ken Wilber, that shows some different ways of approaching, and I think it may have led to part of the framework that you've set up, where the individual self, your way you act, your actions, your systems, your culture all come together to create an innovative leadership style. And this is something that's, I think, working well within big data. Can you tell me a little bit about how that functioned for you as you were writing it? It provides the data. It provides a basis, rather, to discuss it. Is that one of the things that led to some of the later requirements that you give for successful projects?
Thank you. In a lot of my background is working from a human change side for large implementation projects. And as I've used various methodologies over the last at least decade, this is the lens I found to be most helpful. So what we look at is not only how am I changing the system, but how does that system impact the culture? So an example is working with a firm that was developed through the acquisition of 36 different companies. Each of those companies worked as separate little organizations. When we installed a system, an enterprise software system, which is known for tying all of the separate business units together, what we found is halfway through, several of the constituent companies were resisting strenuously because we had violated the social contract with each of these business unit presidents by centralizing a lot of the functions that they had autonomy over. So by implementing a system that absolutely made sense, we as an organization really had to look at how are we changing the culture. And the leader of that project and that initiative, who said basically, you guys go implement it and tell us when it's done, was not helpful. So in many cases, while that approach for the leader had been incredibly successful in the past, we were making too many changes to the culture that the leader's style actually had to change, the culture had to change, both concurrently for this system to be successful. In big data projects, I believe the same is true, that they are highly complex and they change some of the social agreements about how we do business. And for that reason, we need to attend to, as the leader, I need to be thinking about, yes, the systems and processes will change, and that's the traditional bailiwick of consultants. We often leave out the significant impact of changing the culture and the contracts and the agreements that we've made. And also, how do I as a leader need to be different in the context of the changes we're making? So if we're going from a loose federation to a closely run business, then as the leader, I need to be actively involved in a very different way with each of my business unit presidents. And so I personally need to change, they personally need to change. And if I am not considering all of those changes and the alignment between each of them, the probability of our success goes down dramatically.
Whenever somebody describes sort of a top level idea like that, I think, well, that's cool, but what does it look like on the ground? How do you overcome resistance? How do you get the person to buy in?
So it ends up being a combination of traditional consulting and leadership coaching happening at the same time. And we have a series of structured processes. So there are templates, there are exercises, there are reflection questions, and they're all talked about in the Innovative Leader's Guide to Transforming Organizations. And we've used all of them with a wide range of clients, largely in large system changes, technology, and organizational restructuring. So they are well proven. And I think the important point is that at each step, there are a series of things that for us to optimize our transformation efforts really need to be done, even though for some folks they're uncomfortable, right? For lots of leaders, they are leading organizations and they've been top of their game their entire careers. So getting coaching feels a bit awkward. And yet it is that fine-tuning to help them move beyond the way they have done things in the past that will allow them to be successful in a changing environment.
Okay. And James, how do you then look at big data and say, here's a changing leader, and that may make us have to change the way that we're treating all this big data and the way that we are going to look for data across the board and analyze it?
There's multiple dimensions to that particular question. So the first to me is it's not just the leader. And that's one of the things drawn out in the Wilbur framework that Marines used here. And that's actually the lens we use to analyze some projects. A lot of it is the leader, but it's also the systems inside the organization. It's the culture of the organization. And it's the action plans that are necessary. So it has to be multidimensional. As soon as you take a singular focus on it, you're really becoming myopic, which is one of the issues that's going to ultimately lead you towards failure. But when drawn specifically to data and big data and analytic projects, one of the key things to be is adaptable and flexible. A phrase we used to use previous in my career is let the data guide you. So it's great in a big data project to start with a vision, to understand what you want to accomplish as an organization, but you have to keep some loose boundaries because you're going to discover things constantly in the project. Even the type of data you're dealing with initially, you may discover is inadequate, and you're going to go after additional types of data, and you're going to merge them all together. You have to have that level of adaptability. As the leaders, you have to support a culture that's willing to call out, we have a problem, we don't have enough data. Willing to call out systems to say, these systems are not capable of visualizing that much data. Let's go do some statistical analysis first. It's really that adaptability and flexibility that becomes key, but it has to permeate all aspects of the organization and the team that has to deliver the solution.
Do you ever find those two approaches running into each other where you're saying, on the one hand, with big data, you've got to be flexible, you've got to be open to this change, and on the other hand, you're saying to the leader, okay, you're going through this change, but I can imagine those two sort of running into each other where the person's saying, okay, I'm being flexible on this one hand with my leadership style, but I know what I want out of this data and it's not getting me what I want. And, you know, so that the, James and Maureen, you're both sort of having a conflict that's played out with the project itself.
You know, one of the things with traditional leaders and all of us who have been in leadership roles, I think we were taught that as the leader, I'm supposed to know the answer. And it's really uncomfortable when someone comes to me and wants to know why something works or doesn't work or what do they do next. And my response, at least my thought is, I have no earthly clue. Not instilling confidence in the people who have the question. So how do we reframe our leadership to allow us to have an I don't know response followed by here's how we'll go figure it out? So it really is moving from a traditional boss in charge to boss as scientist. As a good scientist, I'm excited when I disprove a theory, just like I'm excited when I prove a theory. So if I disprove a theory, then I have to go have another hypothesis about what I've just learned. And taking that approach, then mistakes and having answers that are contrary to what was in our initial plan can be as exciting and as successful as being right.
Okay. And you do bring that up in this article. You talk about the leader as data scientist. And that seems like an odd or maybe a new take on things, because I wouldn't have traditionally thought of the leader as data scientist. Actually, the whole scientist thing sort of threw me the first time I read it. So is that something that is proceeding out of readings that you've done in the past? Or is this something that is the brand new, the idea that's going to be the Metcalf-Brenza theory or the Brenza-Metcalf theory, whoever came up with leader as data scientist?
Data scientist is a new career path that's recently been identified. You may have heard it a decade ago as statistician. So it's a bit of rebranding, and I believe a lot of the tech industry are saying it's the sexiest career of the upcoming decade. It's a huge demand in skills. It's no longer just statistician. Now you have to be able and be capable of working through multi-billion row databases. Dealing with instruments that are flying data at you so fast, you really have almost no way of storing all of the data and keeping it for any long duration. So it's really raised the game in many ways. But data scientists per se, is not all that new. We didn't invent the term just for the paper.
Okay, okay. Are data scientists often taken to be the leaders in their organization? Because I would have thought in the past, under the unsexy name of statistician, that's the person who goes off and does the accounting and comes back and says, you know, we're 6 million in the red. But that's not necessarily the person that charts the direction of the corporation. Now, the company, the corporation, whatever, is going to be driven by the data. I get that part, but I'm sort of surprised that the data scientist is the person that's then charged with being allowed to say that's how they're going to move forward.
At the executive level, many times what you see is the course set or the direction. They set the objective. We want to leverage data to accomplish this major outcome without the understanding of exactly what it's going to take. What we're starting to see is it's the data scientist who has to organize not only their own mind and their own skills with data and math, but a whole team. It takes more than just one person to be successful in these initiatives. It was a bit tongue-in-cheek, laid out a comment at the beginning of the article. It was actually a reference from another blog that lays out just a huge breadth of skills this individual has to have: communication, curiosity, collaboration skills, commercial acumen. There's just so many skills. To keep it all in one head is nearly impossible. But that is actually what many organizations are now expecting, is that one person is going to be capable of all of that. Hence, the leadership skills that person has to have now in the future. They will probably not succeed wearing all hats for an entire team. They have to become an innovative leader and be able to embrace multiple perspectives to be successful.
Do you think that that expectation is driven by the complexity of systems solely, or is there something else that's arising from it? Because it seems like you're suggesting it's, you know, a new variety of leadership, a new sort of cognitive demand on leaders that might not have existed before. Am I reading that correctly?
I think you're reading it correctly, and I think it doesn't exist before to the full breadth of what we're starting to see now. It's this expectation of going from so many different perspectives and embracing the simple fact that you don't know the answer going in. Maureen summarized it nicely before. Scientists are pleased when their theory is disproven and also proven.
I was going to say, I'm not sure they have to embrace both ways necessarily when it's disproven. Oh, goody, I was wrong. But
actually, data scientists would be because you may have assumptions that are completely incorrect. And with the data to prove it, you can go in a more successful direction.
Okay.
So it's actually a good thing when you use the data to prove an incorrect concept.
Especially when you're talking about running your organization, if I disprove it before I go in the wrong direction, that's a real plus.
Mm-hmm. One thing I wanted to come back to is you were talking about data that's thrown at you so quickly that you don't necessarily even have the capacity to store it for very long. And that interests me because I'm a person who's used to much, much smaller data sets, and I'm used to being able to store anything I want for as long as I want and being able to delve back into it. If you don't even have the capacity to store big data, how do you know that you've interpreted it correctly in arrears? You're like, well, we were pretty sure at the time, but if you can't even look back at the data, that seems to me like a sort of frightening place to be.
It can be frightening. So a great example of data you can't store forever would be clickstream analysis on web pages. So web servers will basically track every single click an individual makes. A firm like Amazon can then back into that to understand more about the shopping experience. When did they abandon the cart? When did they add more things to it? When did they pull things out? You can't really store every single click like that forever. But what you can do is store them for a brief period of time, sometimes being a day, sometimes being a couple of months, to calculate the trend, draw the conclusions. Then you're going to have to truncate or lose the detailed data and stick with just the more aggregated information that leads to the long-term conclusions. You'll never be able to go back and recreate the click stream from 5 years ago and compare them to the current click streams. Most organizations don't have the capability of storing that fine grain of data.
Okay. That's funny because I've noticed I don't know if this is a sort of a recent thing, but places where I had gone and left things in a basket, I seem to be getting email reminders much more frequently. Not only just Amazon, other places saying, we noticed you left three things in your basket that you didn't buy. Come back. And it occurs to me, maybe that's the last gasp before they erase your basket. You know, the last thing they'll say is, all right, fine, he's not coming back. We'll just erase it and get rid of it. What are the the big takeaways that you'd like to people to have from this article? What were the things that in an elevator, when you're describing this to somebody, you feel like are the most important things that people should know? They're passing the paper back and forth. You're denying culpability.
Edit that out later.
One of the things I'd like leaders to take away is how I express myself as a leader, how I perform as a leader, is changing as the world gets more complex, as we have more data, as we have more information, as we are interconnected globally. What I need to do and how I need to do it changes. So we talk about moving from the mindset of traditional leader, I'm the person with all the answers, to I have this great set of competencies and I'm able to work through the complexity of data and all of the business challenges I face. And I think many leaders stumble on a regular basis over letting go of that old perception of how I'm supposed to be and make peace with, I have a very different set of skills than I thought I would at this point in my life.
I think from a slightly more selfish perspective, because I focus on getting work done with big data and analytics, is it's to maintain the flexibility. Look at the leadership traits we're talking about. Look at the process that's laid out in the paper and also in Maureen's book that talks about the key steps you can take to basically set yourself and your organization up for success. Sometimes that requires pushback to the executive level, basically indicating, you know, you can't go straight to this immediate conclusion. It may have been wrong. Here's the data to support it. And it's going to take longer to get there because we have to do more work, the whole team. It's a function of leading by managing up and managing down. But the key element is that flexibility and being ready to embrace multiple perspectives to be successful.
James Brenza, Chief Data Officer for The Ohio State University, and Maureen Metcalf, CEO of Metcalf & Associates. I thank you very much for being with me here today on Craft.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Thanks, Doug. It's great to be here.
For more information from my guests, visit www.craftheshow.com. This is Doug Dangler. Until next time, be creative.